received two presentations from Western Cape and Eastern Cape. I'm now going to allow honorable members to ask questions. I've already received notices of members wanted to leave, so I must indicate that if we can cooperate in terms of time, we can balance both issues. So we have Honorable Maloyi is the only one who's asking questions. Honorable Kapa, Honorable Siva, Honorable Faye. The line is as you appointed.
Chair, I'm going to try to cooperate with you and not raise many questions. The first question is a universal or general question. But firstly, before I do that, is Agri South Africa here, Chair?
Sure.
Now, just to make a comment quickly. 2 days ago, we received a presentation from Agri South Africa. And in that presentation, Agri South Africa indicated to the portfolio committee that if they don't get the help from the department, it will be difficult for them to do what is expected of them for this planting season. And they need their help and so on. And yesterday, the department was here, and we were on top of them, and seriously on top of them on that issue. Now, today, Chair, Western Cape indicates to us that Agri South Africa, which has got serious financial problems, according to them, donated $2 million to the Western Cape, but they have serious financial problems. Now, the question which I was going to pose to Agri South Africa was saying, are they having problems? If they have problems, then where do they get this $2 million? But a question related to that, was this donation made to the Western Cape only or to other provinces as well? And I would want other provinces who are here to indicate to this portfolio committee as to whether did they receive any donation from Agri South Africa. And if not, Agri South Africa must explain to us why Western Cape and not the others. That is my first question. My second question is to the Western Cape. On your page 18, where you talk about assisting smallholder farmers and commercial farmers, and indicated numbers there. The numbers you have indicated there, is that the total number of the smallholder farmers and the commercial farmers that you have in the Western Cape? And I would want you just to break quickly for me, how many black smallholder farmers do you have, and how many white, how many black commercial farmers do you have, and how many white commercial farmers do you have? Again, on the same page, which is page 18, the livelihood support. Can you just indicate to us, but if it's going to be too long, you might want to provide us with a report, where exactly did you provide that support? Because we want specifics. Because we are an oversight body. Now, an oversight body needs to know where are these things happening in order for us to go there and go and check for ourselves. That is related to page 21. When you are saying you have X number of community gardens, school gardens, and so on, we want a specific, you must be specific. Where are those, the location, in order for us to know whether it's in Gugule to a certain school, or it's in Naisna, or where are those areas. The other question, Chair, I'm trying to be as short as I can. On on page 15 or it's page 13, you are indicating that the transfers were not done, but work was done. Where did you get that money from? Is it out of these donations, or where did you get it? Where did you get it from? The other question related to that, you know, you are spending money, I'm impressed, 100% expenditure, 100% expenditure. The unfortunate thing is that I've not had an opportunity to go through your APP. So I would want to know whether if you have achieved 100% expenditure, have you achieved your target? All of them, is it 100%? If not 100%, how did you spend 100% whilst you did not achieve all your set targets? Page 22, I think it's Central Karoo. Let me quickly go to page 22, Chair. I'm trying to cooperate with you, Chair, you'll realize that. Yeah, Central Karoo. Annual target is 110. Plant output, nothing. Which means for the first quarter, you didn't plant anything. So obviously, there won't be any actual output because you did not plant anything. Why? Is there any specific reason as to why you did not set up targets for the first quarter and so on, particularly in Central Karoo? I think I must pause there and allow other members to raise questions. Just to indicate that, you know, the map, that map that you showed, I think it's in the last page about your mechanization. I can't see anything. If you can just indicate to us as to where are these tractors, in which area, and so on. Just to specify, it will help this oversight body to be able to do its oversight work. Now, Chair, I just have one question for the Eastern Cape. Now, Eastern Cape, I have one question for you because I will tell you, if I was in a rally, I was going to suggest that people must stand up and clap hands and sing for you and so on, but we are not in a rally. It's just on page 36. Eastern Cape, because your HOD, he was quite intelligent. He answered questions in advance before you started with the presentation, because he was here 2 days ago and so on. So I no longer have questions. But this evaluation of service providers completed, and then the budget for that is proposed and whatever, the budget is 35 million. Are you suggesting to us that as we speak, there are no boreholes drilled, there are no boreholes that are operational in the Eastern Cape? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Let's note the questions. Where is it? Who's the second? Second is you.
Yes.
Honorable. And then Honorable Cooker will be the last. Already have noted. Honorable Kappa.
Thank you, Chair. While I'll share the sentiments of my colleague Masali on the same page.
Maloy.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. But they are not escaping questions. On the Western Cape, my two questions were he asked them and covered there. But on Eastern Cape, only a few. One, on fencing. How do you manage that this fencing is if it's meant for the crops or it's meant for livestock, so that it shouldn't happen that at some stage someone who benefited when you were fencing for livestock, they come back and say, now we are on the budget for fencing. That was intended. The other one is you talked in the relation with the university, in your colleges. Do you have any relations or interactions with the universities? In the universities, you have Forte there, you have Walter Sulu, you have Rhodes. what would they do for you? What, how would you interact with them there? And then the next one, on the use of your own checkers, how do you manage them? And how do you think this is an advantage that maybe possibly even in other provinces can make use of their supplementing the checkers that are procured from the contractors? The last one is on partnerships. I don't know whether this one you classify under partnership or maybe also that experience you should share with us. The one of contribution from the farmers that you are assisting. Because that's one issue maybe which needs to be clarified, that it should be misinterpreted. You justify this is what it does, and then how does it benefit? How does it make for the department to be effective? Thank you, that's the only question.
Honorable Labour.
My question, Chair, is directed to the Western Cape. Good lady, you have for quite a long time made mention of support to black farmers. And that is good and commendable. But my question is, do you provide black farmers land to practice this agriculture? Or you support them on the pieces of, on the plots of the land that is owned by a white farmer? Because it would be good for me if they are provided land, just practicing their own farming, put infrastructure for them, so that in the near future there is no way that the owner or the landlord can say, quit the farm, and all that infrastructure is left on that farm, and the black farmer will quit with nothing. Secondly, this one is truth is general to all provinces. I can't ask my province.
You must. You must, honorable member.
This one is a comment. It may
but
be
you
well
have been invited to do that.
Okay.
Ask them questions.
That's a comment. It can also be seen as a way to caution all the provinces. A lot has been said here around supporting farmers. A lot has been said. But there's nothing that allies a farmer to the farm worker. People who are exploited. You know, I'm saying then this chapter because with this farm, we visit this project, we get that workers as well as farm workers are exploited. Some are receiving wages that is far below the minimum wage. That is my question. Because if you speak of training farmers, to me you must align that training with ensuring that farmers understand the right of a farm worker. So that the wages they get at least is closer or is exactly the minimum wage as prescribed by the law. To get a farm worker earning 100 rand a week, yet a farmer has been supported with plus minus 2 to 3 million, but he cannot pay a farm worker a minimum wage. After everything they have managed the farmer to collect on the farm in terms of profit, I would love these provinces to ensure that they take cognizance of the farm workers and ensuring that whenever they engage these farmers or train them, there is a plan of ensuring that they are made aware that we don't want the exploitation of
people in the Eastern Cape.
Thank you.
So it's not just me, it's us in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah, I can
see. Always fine. I also start with the Western Cape first. I would like to find out from you, why do you have 4 projects that you support in the Eastern Cape? I'm quite aware of my Eastern Cape colleagues here. But interesting to see that, although I knew about the project, but I never know why. What is the reason for that support? I know it's under the job fund, so maybe it's got something to do that with that.
Yeah.
Then, I'm not sure about the slide, but I'm sure you'll know. I didn't write down the slide 15. There's a transfer for 41 to farmer training and mentorship. I see zero transfer second place. What is the reason for that? Then, there is something about disaster recovery work, 2016-2017, and the work about it. I don't know. I'll have to go and look for that slide again to see why I asked that question specifically. The question was asked about the number of farmers and black farmers. I'm sure you will answer that because it's something that we get a lot. Why is the Western Cape getting grant funding where there is presumably no black farmers in the Western Cape? We get that question a lot, and no land reform happening in the Western Cape, so I would also like to find out about that. For the Eastern Cape specifically, and I think we need to link it, and maybe for the National Department Chair, I'm asking the specific question to the Eastern Cape, but it's something for National that we have to look at. We always have in our national plan that thing of put a million hectares of land under irrigation or under whatever it's called, work. So I picked it up on the Eastern Cape slide, but I think we need to broaden it to all the provinces. When we report on numbers of hectares planted, compared to what? So it's almost a question like, you know, we have supported farmers or farm workers or black farmers, compared to how many? We will not get to the target of a million if we don't have what are we working with. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. So that we get that, as you know, in each province, if we say we will put 15 hectares under irrigation or planting 15 hectares, but what is the total number? It will help us move towards that. And maybe, Chair, if it's possible for national and provinces to tell us, if you want to put all of them, or if we need to get this to the target of at least a million, broken down per province, in each province, how many hectares will that be? What would be the cost? How much do we need? Do we need 50 billion to get to that target? Because we won't get to the target if we don't know what the actual, maybe you haven't, but we've never seen it. So just for the Eastern Cape specifically, how many is your target from that 1 million that you would like to put under... because of all the fallow land that is specifically. Then another thing yesterday with the IRC presentations and some of the plans that they had for the drought, it was something that I am aware of, but I haven't really done some research, but it's becoming more and more viable, it seems to be, that hydroponics. And I was thinking about Kamata specifically, where there's water and there's I visited all your irrigation projects in the Eastern Cape just because I live there, but when I do travel, I take the road off the normal road and go and look at the places, and I'm impressed with the progress. Sometimes when I arrive, it's not so good, but sometimes better, but at least it looks like there's progress in those areas. So one of the areas that I thought about was hydroponics, is Kamata specifically. And I think maybe with the ARC and the work that you do with them, you have to take them there and think about that, because also the degradation of land in that vicinity. Every time I drive there, it looks to me like this is a great place that you can start doing that as a project to see if it works, to help the people take all the animals off the land and feed them in another way. Of course, there's water and there is availability and there's already kind of infrastructure there. So I would like to see something like that assist us with that. Then, Chairperson, unfortunately, it's the same again, but when I look at your number of households supported, you spoke about 8,653. I would like to see this again from all the provinces, because we are talking every year about poverty and households that actually exist under the poverty line. But when we report, we only speak about how many households that we support. But out of this, how many? If we know in the Eastern Cape we support 8,600 maybe out of 2 million people, it's not a dribble in the emmer. So then again, we need to move to that. When we actually want to achieve our target of reducing poverty and hunger, what is our aim? What is the budget that we need to work towards, and how will we get that? So from national again, if we can include that in future, this thing of baseline. We don't know if we are targeting through 2% or 50%. And then in the past, I know there was a problem with Amadlelo and some of the irrigation schemes, also with communities and having too many people in one project, or that kind of community issues. What is is it currently under control, and have you won that? Then just lastly, Chair, it was something out of KZN when I picked it up, but unfortunately I think the KZN guys have left, but it's also for national. It's again this thing of confusing information, like with the boreholes. I've looked at KZN's numbers of hectares that they planted for Feta Tlala, and then the numbers on the report that we got from that, and it's different numbers. I didn't look at the others. Yesterday when the provinces came, it went quite quickly, so I couldn't focus on everything. It concerns me, Chief, that when we get something from that I presume they got from the provinces, then the province government report is different from what we get to that. And this is what makes us, and me, I can't say us and we in this case, I will say myself, suspicious of figures. Because I always check figures, and I will go back to last month and last year and what we said, because every time I get figures, it's different. And then I start thinking this is a cookery of what something is happening here that I don't trust. So that we have a look at it, and specifically maybe Northwest. And the target effector is at 11,100, but actual 16,000 in the drought year. So it makes me wonder if that's correct target. And then, Chair, just on the irrigation scheme for all the provinces, I think, Chair, it's also time that in the same vein we get a proper report of irrigation schemes. We will never know if we will be able to target the irrigation schemes if we don't know. I asked the Northern Cape, and thank you, I saw that you will do a full. But I think all the irrigation schemes in all the provinces, we need to get a figure. It's so many hectares that must be targeted. This is going to be the total cost. To get to that, we will need 10 years or 5 years or 50 billion or 100 billion or whatever. This is the target, and this is the way we're going to eat the elephant. Because I don't know, Chair, even after the presentations, where are we on irrigation schemes in the country? Will we ever get that irrigation scheme going? So we need that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Crooker and Honourable from Northern Cape.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just have one question to both provinces, and actually we should have asked a question to each province, but I will leave it in the hands of our department to find out. And the question is there a formal signed transversal agreement between Small Business Development and the department? If not, why not? That's a question. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Well, Honourable?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity to participate in this meeting. Chairperson, the presentation from the Western Cape on page 17, maybe for my own understanding, I'm not sure what happens here. When people have experienced some flood or any disaster, do they have to perform some work and get reimbursed? And I see whenever they perhaps have to put a claim for what they have done, there should have been some specifications outlined by the department. I hope my understanding is correct. And perhaps what I also need to check, Chairperson, is that In this case, the department instructed me to spend because people are not supporting in time. People can't be reimbursed because they are also not reporting. That's my understanding. Perhaps also just to establish what then they do as a department to encourage people to comply timeously for them also on the other side to be able to spend. I'm sensing a challenge going forward. It means in quarter two they will still experience the same if nothing is being done. Secondly, Chair, not necessarily to one province here, but you see, from where I come from, we tried with the Department of Agriculture to have an agreement and focus on specific issues. And one of the issues that we expect them to report to the portfolio on, committee on, is their support to local municipalities, because with all these interventions, everything happens at the local stage. Now I did not get, I might not be getting it now, but I did not get from the presentation the kind of relations departments are having with municipalities where all these interventions are happening. And perhaps also just to get a sense of whether they enjoy some kind of a relationship. And because for other provinces, it's important. Often when we interact with municipalities, we also need to know that indeed they make the environment conducive for stakeholders to participate. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honorable Young Blue.
Thank you, Chair. This is specifically a question for the Western Cape, but I would like the Eastern Cape to also give me their views about this matter. Now, the Western Cape has been the scene of a lot of labor unrest in recent years, a lot of them. Now, what I would like to know from the province, Western Cape province, is what is the relationship between the province and the workers on the ground? Is it, for example, possible for a farm worker to gain access to the NEC for agriculture? And if not, what are the stages or the processes a person like that has to follow to get attention at some stage? And maybe if you can talk about, I think, isn't this the time of the year where we have this kind of unrest? If you could just give me your opinion on what the current situation is. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Let me start by acknowledging the presentation. And, you know, so I must do this thing so that tomorrow you must come back again to this meeting. With Western Cape, I think something to learn from your presentation is the track system that we have for the tractors. And the system that you use to monitor your extension officers. I think all the provinces can learn from yourself. Eastern Cape, and you are the number one province in terms of equitable share allocated to agricultural sector. It means that you take agriculture very seriously, and well done. Questions now. I hope you won't get angry because I started by pressing. Western Cape, the community in Philippines. Yes, they've got the aquaculture project. They've sent my information that the city of Cape Town is threatening to remove them. What are you doing to protect the land for agriculture in Western Cape? There was a program of getting vets to be deployed to the rural area. But in your case, majority of vets were deployed in Cape Town city instead of rural areas. And because we are here today, we must get the reason, because we've been asking national department. I think the other issues that he was raised by Honorable Maloyi is, you see, it's something that this meeting must note, that it's either we're not being taken very seriously, or we use this meeting to do something else not working for our people. You can't have an organization coming to the portfolio committee pleading for money and then you go to another meeting to get the slide. The same organization has actually donated to. It's very wrong, and I think we'll get them to explain to that from us, because tomorrow it will be very difficult for this portfolio committee to talk to any structure. We've called that bank to say now I'm not sure whether they are still relevant here. If you have the we've called land bank because we're told that they are not accessing loans and all those things. Now you go into a slide, they are donating money. Actually, it's upsetting. The other question, I think I want to agree with Honorable Stein on the progress in terms of the irrigation. Because there is a target in the NDP and there is a target in the present MTEFF, because we are in the midterm, and National can consolidate that report, and in the next meeting we'll get that report from all the provinces in terms of their contribution to the to that program. Actually, it's even coordinated by NAMAC, the city 11. Actually, the infrastructure, all infrastructure related to agriculture. So if we can get that report, it will be very helpful. To Eastern Cape, you talk about the vet, but we have not get the clinic. Where are the clinics? Because the mobile clinic, honorable members, they are moving up and down in Western Cape, Limpopo, everywhere. We don't see these mobile clinics. It's only you who see them. Where are they? Are they operating? What's the issue? The question that we have asked with all the provinces is in terms of the drought-resistant maize. Are we, at least the Eastern Cape HOD, because it was here, was able to answer even before we questioned. but the question still stands that we might want to see national reporting to us how many tons have we used, and because we must have a plan, even the plan to bank, because we must not utilize the seeds and we end up not having the one to produce the seeds again. So there must be that balance, and the national must give us that information. Eastern Cape, again, unfortunately, they are not here, Grain SA. They are working in Eastern Cape. They are partnering with the department on Fetsatsala. Questions is that the numbers, are they included here? As you count the numbers, do you include the one that Grain SA has planned in Eastern Cape? If not, I think in the near future might want to get the report. But one of the things that they've raised as a problem is the issue of the land. We might want to get the province to go next to them and assist them with land. And the good thing that we have learned, those that were in the meeting, we have learned from Mpumalanga, is that they are identifying state farm and they are putting all their graduates of agriculture to start giving them work, more research, more production and all those things. So we want all the province to to look at that, and if there is a need for us to engage rural development, let us know in time so that we can assist in negotiating with rural development. And Eastern Cape, the Northwest, they've got a program to support traditional leaders. So you can learn from them again, that program. But what we have raised on that program is that we must be very careful that we don't end up launching the traditional leaders against this community. As they see you supporting the traditional leaders, community might start fight with the with that traditional leader. So I just thought I must raise those issues. You can respond. Let me see, you want to start with Eastern Cape or you are this side with us?
No,
you have a right to be this side. You are the member of this house. This side. Okay, HOD.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. I'll be very, very short. Coming on the east on the boreholes, there are new boreholes that are actually planned, which are, I've got the figures here about total is 24 that are being planned. But we've got also another total of 83 which are being refurbished, which are actually in existence with 83. These are distributed across the district. We do have a GIS map which shows where each borehole is. So that's what about that would say about the boreholes. Now, coming to the questions by Honorable Kappa around the collaboration with universities. We do collaborate with the University of Fort Hare when it comes to the program with extension services. We also collaborate with Rhodes University when it comes to the issue of aquaculture. We are also collaborating with Walter Sisulu, particularly that now they are also trying to have another faculty of agriculture. We're working close together because they would love to make use of Solon College as, you know, as a part of the faculty. So we're working very, very much closely. Even in the curriculum design for the university part of agriculture, we are proposing to work at the school. So we're participating in the department. Also in aquaculture, the aquaculture unit at work at the school is also working with us at the Tata Den. Now, on the use of our own tractors, the tractors, we subdivided them according to that district, and they are there to, initially, they are more critical in implementing the Azonza, in Azonza Homestead Society. They are very, very good in supporting them. However, there are instances where there could be maybe a big area, big farm that has to be plowed. We migrate, we borrow the tractor from another district to go and give head that particular district. So that's basically the project that has to be done. So these tractors are actually mobile across the province. It where there's extremely high need, they will redeploy from that specific area to go and support. However, but there are tractors for each district. On the partnership, in the partnership arrangement that we are talking about, it is true the farmers are part and parcel of the partnership. The way we deal with our we have a component, a portion that our farmers contribute, which is 1.8 per hectare. The state comes with 3.2 per hectare. And then now the other partner, which will be starting now this coming season, that is going to come with another portion as well. Now, this has actually worked very, very, very well in terms of our farmers giving all the effort in making sure that the operations that are taking place in their own fields, they are actually fully responsible and they are full participants in their own field. So this is actually really assisting us in a very way, this partnership. But I must mention here, Church, I believe it is another partnership which the Church actually asked around it at the SA as to how does it feature in the partnership. The new strategy that we have done to expand, which we have actually developed out of the lessons we got from the partnership we had with Wickhold and Anglo-Gold, then we have developed, we have widened our partnership strategy. Now that, where at the SA was appearing, it's appearing on the 16-17 plan. It's not in all the current one. The current one is still the old etc. Like we've called old mutual, etc. That has been in the working with us. But in the broadened one that starts next growing season, then most of these partnerships will be there, including at the SA, will be there. Now, I think the comment from Honorable Kumba, it is quite true, the sensitivity on the conscientizing the farm owners against the farm workers. Farm workers are there. But what we do from our presentation, we do offer some form of training to farm workers. And that part of training, it does cover quite a lot of technical issues and other social issues that they must be sensitive of as farm workers. So we are actually trying, but I do agree that more has to be done on this in order to make sure that the farm workers are not exploited. There is also another question from an honorable saying here, where we talked about the baseline. For example, we say 70 hectares were plowed against what? Maybe 70 has been plowed against 2 billion. We don't know. So in that case, that is a drop in the ocean. But out of the 1 million hectares, what the Eastern Cape identified was 300,000. And then the way this 300 is, we are not saying in achieving the 300 shall be the department only. We include all the farmers and everybody, both commercial farmers and everybody, to make sure that that 300 is actually achieved. Now, if we are saying it is going to be the department alone responsible for that 300,000 hectares, we will need approximately 3 billion rand for that alone. That is why, therefore, we believe we must include every crop farmer involved in the province. Now, from the figures we got from the crop estimate last season, We were at 190-something thousand already. If you look at the whole Eastern Cape now, in other words, there's a component that is coming from the state supporting the farmers, as well as the other components supplied by local municipalities, that by also done by the commercial farmers. So that is the figure which you got from the crop estimate. But our set a baseline for the province is 300,000. On the hydroponics, I really do agree. We are going to engage. We did chat with the CEO, you know, not on hydroponics over there. There's also some work in O.R. Tambo that they're actually working on. And also some other work at Mtiza, you know, on the other end of the airport. So we have some plans with the CEO of the AGI, of the ARC, which was actually discussed. Coming to Amadlelo, there was a challenge with Amadlelo initially. That escalated where even the youth got involved, where there was a big problem. So the department had to intervene, whereby a lot of discussions were held with Amadlelo together with the affected parties. But I can confirm now that all that turmoil, which was in existence before, has been resolved. On the irrigation schemes, we will comply and prepare the report for all our irrigation schemes, which will be more detailed and be submitted also to the National Department. We will put also the cost implications, et cetera, et cetera, so that we could be able to know, as you said, on a member, that you must know how big is this LSL, when do you start by tick. So we'll definitely show and make sure we do submit that. The relationship between the municipalities, this was raised by the chair. You know, the way we are structured in the province, we've got our, in each and every local municipality, we've got our offices, which are headed by a manager. We can call them manager coordination, because they are coordinating all the activities that are taking place in that municipality. And they are working very, very, very close with the municipality. They attend the IGRs at the municipality. That goes further, because even at the ward level, our extension officers are participating even at the ward meetings. They are part and parcel there. So we have got a very good working relationship with the municipalities. It actually goes all the way up to the district level, where our district municipalities are working very closely with our district offices in all the 6 districts in the province. The relationship between the workers and the workers on the ground, you know, and you know, with the offices, especially one mentioned of the NEC, for example. With us, the office of the NEC to the public is an open door policy. NEC goes around, there are stakeholder engagements which the NEC is holding on a regular basis. So the owner of the NEC is always in touch with the community, be it the youth or be it the farm workers or be anybody. The owner of the NEC is always in touch with all our stakeholders. I concur that we've got the smart pen for tracking as Jane was presenting over time. I'm sorry, HOD for the Western Cape. We are actually going to improve even ourselves. We are actually on the smart pen mode as well. We do have the clinic, which we also got support from the National Department, these big ones, where we even use them in the villages to castrate horses, to do big operations by our vets. You see, we've got those big ones. They've got big trucks we got from the National Department. And these clinics, we've got quite a lot of them, share. They are distributed in all our districts. And Fortunately, though the vets are quite scarce, we do have vets per district. And now even the local municipalities, we do have vets who are actually managing those screenings. They are working close hand in hand, Chair, with the animal health technicians in those various places.
No, it will be helpful just to tell members which road they must use so that they can see them.
But
it will be useful to tell honorable members which route they must use as they are moving around Western Cape.
Eastern Cape.
So which route they must use so that they can see this clinics, mobile clinics and trucks.
No, they are always there. But the chair, remember, Chair, because the farmers are inland. So I think we must invite the members to go and see them in operation. Because they are usually there amongst the farmers inland. Thank you so much. With the chiefs, I agree. We saw the model, Honorable Chair, that was my mentor. I think it was Mark West. Yes. I think what we did, we did start work on with the chiefs. Because we did actually train them at the Zola College. I think we also trained their wives as well at Zola College. We also support them with genetic material, ready genetic material, with understanding that they. The genetic material we take the beaten bull or a ram, it is in good hands and it's shared with the communities. But I must indicate that definitely the money from the Northwest is quite good. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Just to touch one or two things. You can also, Chair, in your capacity as the chairperson of the session, convey our gratitude to the Agri-SA, I think, for their contribution of close to 170,000 feet that they invited me in the areas of Stagsbridge to deliver to communal farmers. Indeed, we appreciated that. I was with the president of Agri-SA, Mr. Stain. And I think going forward, they can increase that contribution. This is what we can underline in the year 2016-17. When it comes to farmers, I'm quite aware, going into the detail of the exact operation of what we are doing. I'm reminded, SG, that we have already started training 298 farm workers in the areas of Sarabatman and Joker on various skill aspects of inventory management, belt management, tractor maintenance, business leadership, animal health and disease control, and HIV and AIDS. Because if you go to areas like Sarabatman, citrus areas, where there is a high number of workers coming together on a harvesting season, and you don't have these kinds of clinics, and there is no plan and program so that the workers also can be trained, be skilled, be empowered, and be capacitated to understand exactly what are the conduct diseases would mean. And I think that this is what we decided to undertake. On the issue of farm workers, Chairperson, I think we must highlight this. At times, it is the question of human relations. In our province, recently we have experienced an unthinkable thing to happen 21 years since we done our democracy, where two young chaps were forced to eat a raw dog meat by a farmer at gunpoint in the areas of Kumha, and they could not salivate the blood anymore, and they stopped eating it, but they were taken to the back of the barkie by the same farmer to the police station. That is a case executed, determined, planned, and outcome by a single individual. And it is not only a relationship between a farmer and a worker in the farm, but also a farmer and the neighborhood. When a farmer can just poison a grass, killing the animals, I think we've got a funny Mr. Crawl in our area. I don't know where this power is coming from, that individual. But I don't think these are the issues. When we're thinking about treatment of farmers, but there are also treatment of neighborhoods, communities next to these farms. And I'm citing this, of course, there are still pockets of ill treatment, inhumane treating of these workers, abuse, which is just issues of common assault. But as long as they are exposed to issues of law and legislation, of what is it that protects them, which I believe it is advancing the cause of empowering them through what are the instruments in case they are faced with this kind of ill treatment. And I think this is what our department is shaping to do. And surely I must reaffirm the issue of Amadlelo. When we are developing the models, especially in the rural communities, definitely sure we must expect delays, the convergence and the agreements about what kind of a shared scheme, what kind of benefits, what is the beneficiation, who is the beneficiary, all of those detailed questions are just coming. They can delay a project which should have been implemented in a year for 3 years because others are interested in money, others are interested in enterprise, others are interested to work and so on. But I think the Amadlelo one is now gelling many of our dairies without this partnership with this private sector. I'm telling you, we need to be milking now. I don't know how many liters of milk per day. But we can confirm it's a good story that this honorable leadership sitting here can also go. And that's why Eastern Cape in community and communal areas is in a position today to milk so many cows like Ngoka, where there has been incidents of traditional leadership, issues of land claims, lack of security of tenure, and lack of understanding who is in control between a traditional leader, a government, or a local municipality. All of that is impacting on these projects very severely, but it requires that as department, as well as stakeholders, would develop a mechanism to address these problems. I also extend invitation to you, Chair, if possible, you are visiting provinces. The problem with primary animal health ambulances, they don't use siren too much. I've never heard them, actually. I think because of compliance and law, they must not frighten animals. So you can't see them, but they are there. And I think we're about to open one of the state-of-the-art clinics. I visited Solo Agri College a week ago to see. It's completely finished. We have never seen such a thing, I think, in the whole eastern side of the province of the Eastern Cape, trying to say they too deserve to have these quality services in their doorstep. And I'm quite happy that the deployment of these doctors, though they are there for experiential kind of training, but it is making a huge impact. And I think going forward, people will understand that the relationship between human beings and animals at times must be always be maintained so that we can keep the standards of health of our citizens much more better. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, MEC.
Thank you. I'm going to be as brief as possible. The agri-FA to me, I think I can't respond.
Yeah.
I can make, and I made the information available. I think it's a deal we struck. We also gave money for logistics, but they had the fodder because we needed to get the fodder to our black farmers. And part of our problem is the fodder price has increased. So we were looking at donations to keep the price low. Or we just maybe better negotiate it. So that's the one thing. I have a database on my black farmers that I can give you just quickly the numbers. And I've got too many things here. But the numbers are the following. 9,867 black farmers in the Western Cape. And we have 6,000 commercial farmers, and we've done a survey based in, well, a survey in 2007. So what we also have is we have a black farmer database where we can track where they are. So I can plot it on a map for you. If you want to, we can also make it available. So that's the first thing. The other is the smallholder farms for wheat or grain. These are black farmers that got land from rural development not so long ago. And our problem is rural development invested a hell of a lot of money into these farmers. And if we, because they didn't have any harvest, you know, because there was no water, we realized the farm workers and the farmers would not have any income. So we looked at using our equitable share, not the disaster management framework, because the government allows the crops to help these farmers to stay on the farm with their farm workers. So I can make available a report to you to detail where they are, who they are, how many, what money, what are the criteria. So I'm quite happy to share it with the committee. The school gardens, I can go through it, but I think the best would be if we actually detail for you those households, where we're going to do it in the district, as well as the community gardens and the school things, and tell you where we're doing in which districts, because then you have that information. And we can make it available, the chair will just need the colors when you want. As for the training, this is actually where the partnerships kick in. The commodity groups that we have agreements, we have 10 agreements with key commodity groups. They start the training. They don't wait for our money because the farmers need it, because if they're going to do preparation of soil, if they're going to do irrigation, that's what they do for us as well, because the expertise often sits in those commodities as well. And by having these agreements, they come in and actually train the farmers already. And the money will flow later. But remember, we've had these agreements with the commodity groups for the last 8-9 years. So they know how governments work and how the money flows as well. But something in terms of technical training can't wait, because we have a season to catch. And so you need to do some of the training before time. So that's why it's no money, but there were a number of people training. The Central Karoo, yes, I agree with you, we said zero, but remember this is quarter one. So quarter one is, in the Central Karoo we're not going to do, but if you ask us quarter two, you'll see what we have done to catch up. We can't be everywhere as well. So we started, and also some of these areas didn't have water. In the Western Cape, we can't plant without having a source of water. And we know the Central Karoo was declared a drought. If you look at the rainfall as well, it's been very limited. So we haven't started anything because we need to check out whether we can get sufficient rain to start the project. So, but the quarter one is zero. We didn't overcommit. We rather gone fairly conservative. But it is specific to Central Karoo, but it's also been to water. The mechanization list, I must apologize for the map. I will actually send you a map that is better marked with all the detail, but also a list attached. So you can see where the tractors are, and you know, each linked to a project as well, and obviously placed spatially. So we'll do that as well. I hope to be writing all of it down. Then, can I just say to you, we've got a question, do we provide land? No, it's not our map. What we do is, where rural development has given people land, where the municipality has given people land, they actually apply and get they can get access to COP, but you need to be on that. The one issue, I think, for the Western Cape, and we always get nailed, is equity scheme, and I think what you've asked is, so do we develop white farmers from up farm, and then they actually take our black beneficiaries out of the equation, and they keep the infrastructure. The problem is actually the equity schemes are set up by rural developers, and we need to service those people. It's often farm workers that were beneficiaries. Part of our biggest issue is the orientation of the people that are owners and workers, and that needs to still happen, and we're going to spend many years on it, because it's one of the most difficult things. When are you a boss and when are you a worker? And I think those schemes we actually need to kill. But I didn't set it up as a Department of Agriculture. In fact, none of us did. It actually came from rural development. And we need to service those people because they are part of our landscape. So there's a little nuanced issue around it, so I need to put it up. What we've also done, though, with the cost, and that has also alerted us, we have looked at 50% schemes. That we rather look at that, and that fits into the Agri-BE criteria for this country. The workers exploited? Can I just say, I have a farm worker sub-program that deals exclusively with building capacity. What we also have, and this is through a DAF initiative that comes from our pub, we have industry roundtables, and the wine industry particularly has set up a process to fast-track some of the issues that's been on the farm to go to the CCMA. So there's a very specific committee for the wine industry that they set up because it is an issue. Robertson at the moment, the workers in the manufacturing plant, 300 is on strike. They want a, I think, 25% increase or 150% increase. So there's a deadlock at the moment, so we're monitoring it. It's a bit uncomfortable because it's also in our production season, our harvesting season. So we're not quite sure. What we have done after the number of strikes we have, we've also realized that there's a lot of people that say they're farm workers. On closer connection, they're not. They are people that come in that want farm work but don't get it. So we have actually started in each district a farm, or we call them now agri-worker centers. So I can tell you how many households, how their houses look, what education, what health, all of that. It's not a survey, so it's not stats, it's real. So I can make it available that the committee looks at it, but it is scary. There is only about 8% of people on farm that have got tertiary qualification. So there's a whole new set of things we need to do besides telling people about baby bites. The education levels of our farm workers, even in the Western Cape, is horrible. So we need to figure out how do we work with education, how do we work with health, how do we work with all of those. And in a sense, it should be true rural development. And I don't think we quite get there. So I can make available what we do in our farm worker development. Can I just say I've actually bucked the system. I've appointed 5 social workers to deal with the issues of farm workers on farm, because they struggle to communicate, and I got clucked in this process. Now they're comfortable, but it actually serves well. So when a farm worker comes to minister, there's often things that we can sort out by just talking to different departments, and that's it. Like a ID, like getting a pension, like getting health service. That doesn't have to wait for a report. It can go immediately. So that is what we're doing. We can't get everywhere. I have 180,000 farm workers in this province. I can, with my budget, and I have only 14 million, I can only service about 7,000 to 8,000. That's fact. Jobs Fund? Yes. The Jobs Fund is actually a cooperation between the industry, the commodity, horticulture, and the department. But it would be stupid to let the Eastern Cape out of this Jobs Fund, because they are part of horticulture. So the Western Cape started it, but we're not excluding anybody, so we pull them in. In any case, remember, my part of cost goes in, their car part of cost must go in. And we got actually about, how much, 60 million? From the National Treasury, Mahala, to do this project, but we in any case doing. So it's just to get us to a next level and commercial. That's what we've done. Can I just also say that I don't have a formal agreement with small business departments. The reason for it is, remember, provinces also have economic development departments at provincial level. So we have often a working relationship with them, and they have a working relationship with small businesses. So there's not a direct link for us. So I think it might be a bit difficult for us to set up, but we have to explore it. The other is the experience of the reimbursement specifications reporting. And I can give you a full document to explain everything. We just summarize it. Bottom line is, it's flood damage. So some farmers have the ability to fix it, or they have expertise. So the commercial farmers often say, look, we want to fix it. But then we say, you can fix it, but if it's not to the specifications we give you, we're not going to pay. For the smallholder farmers, we have a different set. We say, if this is the damage, we'll rather contract people in to help you to fix it. So those people will get their money much better because it's on a tender. The commercial farmers, if it's not specification, and the specification through that framework, because they need to do it right. But we can give you a report to give you more details, because I'm not glossing over it, but there is particular technical details as well. So I'm quite happy to do that. The local municipalities, yes, what I have done is, besides having district managers for farmer support and development, I have assigned two senior managers to each district to work with local government. We also have about six joint projects or planning initiatives that we are going to execute over the next 3 to 4 years. Obviously, it needs to be negotiated now again, given the local elections, to see if it's still on the agenda. But that's what we've been doing in the process. So it's very structured. We talk to them formally at least 3 times a year, but informally many times. So I can make that list available as well. I've talked about the labor unrest. The other thing is we are part of the South African Police Joint Operation, and so they also feed us where they pick up our spots. So maybe we can send our social workers in, or actually already active go in to see where we can mediate. But each case, you know, is brought via the joint also to us. So the Philippi horticultural area, yeah, it's a hot potato. What we have is Daryl is one of the people that has been appointed to sort it out. Now, politically, every 3 years, this becomes an issue. But every time we talk, and nobody actually goes and sit down and do a plan so we can protect it. So Daryl and Douglas' job, Douglas is not here, is to actually talk to staff, to talk to the mayor, people, to talk to the farmers, and say, guys, what do we need to make sure that nobody, doesn't matter what political party it is or what group, this is protected for agriculture. But in the meantime, we are funding projects there already. And Chair, the aquaculture project that you refer to, I don't have knowledge. If you want to send it to us so that we can follow up what's really going on, we will not sort it out. We'll see what we can do. But remember, the city has lease agreements. I can't influence it. It's a doctrine sphere of government. We have advised the city not to give communities less than 5-year agreements on municipal land. Our perfect one is 9 years and 11 months, because then we can invest and those people can make a living. But some municipalities, not just the city, doesn't want to do long-term things. And this makes it very difficult if people can't get land through land reform and they rely on municipalities. The vets, Chair, yes, I have a report on the CSE, CSC vets, that's been deployed. I see National said I do most in the city area. There's a reason for it. Most of the welfare organization is in the city, and they've agreed with us to create a space for these youngsters to learn about welfare issues as well. So they go to different places, but they are at the welfare organization's place so that they can get different exposure. But I have a full report that I can make available so you can actually also see what they do and how their experience. I think, Chair, I've done most.
Thank you. Actually, both from Eastern Cape and Western Cape, do we have Honorable Malui?
No, Chair, just a small thing, which is on page 11. Just to assist me with language. When you say something is on track, I just don't understand what you mean. Because if you say to me this amount of money has been allocated, this is what is planned, and so on and so forth, then say concrete is on track. Normally I don't understand what is on track. Mm-hmm. So if we can write it in a language which will be understood by myself and the others, because I don't think even in your APP you put something on track. It must be something that you have achieved. It's either you have achieved 7 or you have achieved 5 and so on. So just this on track, I don't understand it. I was saying for future purposes, it will be necessary because I don't know this on track. We are on track.
I will do that. Just to stay on track, is we have the 6 projects, it needs project proposal, and we're starting to implement. But it's Q1. Often, like the CGS group, that's on track. Remember, we only planted in August. So it's on track in terms of the business plans that we have, we're doing it, but we can't show yet the progress. I can't give you a hard call. Because all of this is saying we're going to do. Because it might not be planned for Q1. Because remember, I'm only reporting on Q1. Mm. In Q2, this will be different. I will give you hectares I can do, because then we've gone into the planting. Because August, September is the planting for deciduous fruit in this crop. So it's just that to say that if you want the 6 plans, I can give it to you. Mm. But we'll use this in later.
Thank you very much, HOT. Thank you, honorable members. I think provinces that are here, they learn from one another. And all these things that you are saying you're going to send, please don't wait us to ask you to send it. Just send them, because everybody when you come here, I'll send these things, and there are a lot of them. So as you make those promises, please send them before we make follow-ups. And thank you very much. You can take the back seat and allow Land Bank to come in. Welcome, Chief Executive Officer, and your team. You can start by introducing your team as you proceed. Because you have a challenge of time, I think you can assist by saving a lot of time yourself as you present.